bookends today, that's right. I finished out the year and I have the privilege of initiating the new year, and the Lord be praised. We've all made our declarations and good wishes and what have you. Now we need to go to the word of the Lord to see how all that we have wished to one another of blessings and prosperity and abundance and what have you, how the Lord can expedite these things and make them reality in our lives. I want to read a lot of scripture this morning. I brought my Amplified Bible because it'll take me longer to read. No. Because it expands the ideas to give us a more accurate frame of reference of what the Lord is saying to us in His Word. We want to address ourselves in the light of five distinct words that we find in the Bible with regard to the blessing of the Lord. And we find them repeatedly in the scriptures that we're going to read this morning. So I'm asking that the Lord will minister His word to us in a very special way by His Holy Spirit. Remember, life is made up of choices. And as spiritual, as giants of the faith that we might think that we've attained to, we still have the capacity to respond to the truth in either the ways of the flesh or the ways of the spirit. And the word tells us so very clearly that the ways of the flesh lead to death. Yes, while you are alive, the process of death is initiated and propagated by the ways of the flesh. Versus the ways of the Spirit. Now the way that is after the Spirit of the living God leads to life and peace. Which would you rather have? The question is, what kind of seeds am I planting that will be evidenced in an eventual harvest, whether I like it or not? He that sows after the flesh will reap from the flesh. He that sows after the Spirit will reap from the Spirit according to the Spirit. And so I'm asking that the Lord will remind us in His Word and through His Word to be diligent in our choosing, to be deliberate with very simple, everyday kinds of settings. Now, what I'm about to say is not very complicated, and we all know these terms very well. But it's not just the knowing, but it's the doing of the truth that brings a blessing. Now, if we expect all the good wishes of having a prosperous new year, is the new year still new enough to address it? Or has it kind of lost its bloom already? How many resolutions, New Year's resolutions, are still standing intact? Don't lift your hand. But maybe a few of them have been scratched up a little bit. But if we conduct ourselves according to the word of the Lord, we gain continuity, and we gain the privilege of planting seeds that will reproduce after their own kind. Okay, here are the five words that express the focus that I feel the Lord would have me bring this morning. There are three things that the Bible says with regard to these words I'm about to share with you. That is, we are to grow, we are to increase, and we are to abound. Well, for those of us who have gray heads, we know we're not going to grow any taller. Our girth might grow a little bit. And so what does the Bible address in challenging us to grow in the time in which we are living? Now, here are the five words. We are to grow in grace. We are to grow in knowledge. We are to grow in love. We are to grow in godliness. And we are to grow in hope. Let me begin by reading from 2 Peter chapter 1, starting at verse 2. This is from the Amplified. All of these readings today are from the Amplified Bible. 2 Peter chapter 1 at verse 2 through verse 8. May grace, God's favor and peace, which is perfect well-being, all necessary good, all spiritual prosperity, and freedom from fears and agitating passions and moral conflicts, be multiplied to you in the full, personal, precise, and correct knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. For his divine power has bestowed upon us all things that are requisite and suited to life and godliness, through the full personal knowledge of him who called us by and to his own glory and excellence or virtue. By means of these, he has bestowed on us his precious and exceedingly great promises, so that through them you may escape the flight from the moral decay, rottenness and corruption that is in the world because of covetousness, lust and greed, and become sharers, partakers of the divine nature. How immeasurably rich is the word of the Lord. See, now the blessing of the tape, that's only a buck. I mean, that's a bargain. See, if you don't want to read it for yourself, then plug it in somewhere and keep listening to it. Let the word of the Lord be replayed to you again and again, that the word of the Lord will frame our attitudes and determine our conversation. See, we plant life or death with our tongue. I should say the seeds which lead to life or death with our tongue. And how easy it is to slip into conformity with the spirit of this age because we're pressured and as it were, pushed and shoved and whatever daily by the mindset of the world, which leads to corruption and ultimately death. In the light of all that, we have the privilege of choosing the living word of the living God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. This is verse 5. For this very reason, adding to your diligence to the divine promises, employ every effort in exercising your faith to develop virtue, excellence, resolution, Christian energy, and in exercising virtue, develop knowledge, intelligence, and in exercising knowledge, develop self-control, and in exercising self-control, develop steadfastness, patience, endurance, and in exercising steadfastness, develop godliness, piety, and in exercising godliness, develop brotherly affection, and in exercising brotherly affection, develop Christian love. Now, I know we're already on overload, but that's all right. The word will keep coming and the Holy Spirit will help us remember. For as these qualities are yours and increasingly abound in you, they will keep you from being idle or unfruitful unto the full personal knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Praise the Lord. Okay, continuing to read from 2 Peter chapter 3, this is verse 18. But grow in grace, undeserved favor, spiritual strength, and recognition and knowledge and understanding of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ the Messiah. To him be glory, honor, majesty, and splendor, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. So be it. How do we grow in grace? Well, obviously, we would continue to increase in our capacity to lay hold of what the Lord so bountifully and freely and continuously extends to us. By means of the grace of God, we are kept from the errors of the evil one. By means of the grace of God, we can reign in life by one Christ Jesus. That is, we're not swished hither and yon by every mood of the spirit of this age, but we are steadfast in him who has called us to glory and to virtue. By the enabling of God's free gift, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. When the peace of God rules in your life, you are indestructible. There aren't enough devils in hell to pull you off course or to ruin your joy. Well, somebody say amen. Hallelujah, it's the truth. I was looking for a little bit of support. Yes, the grace of God. Now, not only are we called to grow in grace, we're called to increase, and we are called to abound. In other words, we will lay hold of more grace than we need for our survival. And in the increase and in the abundance, in the overflow, what's going to happen? We will minister life to all those around us. Not through a whole lot of struggle, just because of the overflow of what the Lord has filled us with. Okay, let me go on. This is from Romans chapter 5. I've just made reference to these several scriptures, but let me read them for you if I may. Romans chapter 5 at verse 1. Therefore, since we are justified, acquitted, declared righteous, and given a right standing with God through faith, let us grasp the fact that we have the peace of reconciliation to hold and to enjoy peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Through him also we have our access, entrance, introduction by faith into this grace, state of God's favor, in which we firmly and safely stand, and let us rejoice and exult in our hope of experiencing and enjoying the glory of God. What an abundance there is in the word of the Lord for us. It staggers our imagination. And we say, who? Me? Yes, each one of us. And it's important then that we boldly appropriate and confess and proclaim what God has extended to us. For in the proclamation of the truth of God, the Holy Spirit has access to our life to perform within us what God has promised to us in his word. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Romans chapter 5, verse 17. For if, because of one man's trespass, lapse, offense, death reigned through that one, much more surely will those who receive God's overflowing grace, unmerited favor, and the free gift of righteousness, putting them into right standing with himself, reign as kings in life through the one Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Which way do you want to go? To reign in life or to be under the circumstances? It depends on where you position your tongue. If I identify with the provision of God and maintain it in light of whatever challenge may face me, I will end up on the grace side of the ledger, reigning in life, not because I'm so smart or so good or so holy, but because of the power of His grace. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We're to grow in knowledge. Ephesians. Now let me go on to Philippians. Philippians chapter 1 at verse 9. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more, and extend to its fullest development in knowledge and all keen insight. That is, that your love may display itself in greater depth of acquaintance and more comprehensive discernment, so that you may surely learn to sense what is vital and approve and prize what is excellent and of real value, recognizing the highest and the best and distinguishing the moral differences, and that you may be untainted and pure and unerring and blameless, that with hearts sincere and certain and unsullied, you may approach the day of Christ, not stumbling nor causing others to stumble. May you abound in and be filled with the fruits of righteousness, of right standing with God and right doing, which come through Jesus Christ the Anointed One, to the honor and praise of God, that His glory may be both manifested and recognized. Can that happen? Now, what happens when our life is in overflow mode? Well, let's take an example from the Lord Jesus. See, the desperate people, the broken, the outcasts, heard Him gladly and resorted to Him. The self-righteous couldn't stomach Him because He was an affront to their veneer, to their plastic lifestyle. But the broken felt the outpouring of His love. See, when the woman, for example, John chapter 8, when the woman at the well, or not the woman, the woman taken in adultery, I meant to say, John chapter 8, when she was brought to Him under the accusing finger of the self-righteous, what did Jesus do? He wrote in the sand. Now, what He wrote, the Bible doesn't tell us. But what if He made reference to some very common sins of the self-righteous? And as they became aware of what He was saying to them silently, they were condemned in their own conscience, and they exited the field of encounter, being condemned by their own conscience. And ultimately, there was no one else left but the Lord Jesus and the woman. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, where are your judges and policemen and jailers? Where are those who've accused and condemned you?" Probably without a trial. And she said, "No one." And what did He say? "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." What do we experience? The response of the overflow of the love of God. Why? Because that's what His heart was full of. In 2003, let our hearts be filled with the Word of the living God. For the Word of the living God will cause us to overflow with the life of the living God. Hallelujah. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. Whatever we're full of will overflow whenever our boat is rocked a little bit. Do you know that little berm you get on a cup when it's full of coffee? You know, just right to the rim? Well, as long as you hold it steady, you're okay. But if you bump it a little bit, what happens? You have an overflow. Maybe you didn't want it at that moment, but see, let our hearts be filled with the berm of His love to the very rim of the cup, that the slightest motion will cause us to overflow with the love of God. You want a prosperous 2003? Plant some seeds that will take you in that direction. Keep planting them deliberately, by choice, by persistence, by discipline. See, a little bit of discipline is okay. You're not earning your salvation that way. You know, they're not in the same register, so don't compare them. But a little discipline helps you to prosper in the things that God so freely provides to you. Your tongue's going to wag anyway. So let it vibrate with the truth and life of the Spirit of the living God. That's a choice, a beautiful choice. Thank you, Lord Jesus. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I better hurry here. I'll run out of time before I run out of book. Okay, this is 2 Corinthians chapter 9. You have probably noticed so far that the words grace and knowledge have kept coming up. Now here's another one. 2 Corinthians 9 at verse 8. And God is able to make all grace, every favor and earthly blessing come to you in abundance, so that you may always and under all circumstances and whatever the need be self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support, and furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. As it is written, he, the benevolent person, scatters abroad. He gives to the poor. His deeds of justice and goodness and kindness and benevolence will go on and endure forever. And God, who provides seed for the sower and bread for eating, will also provide and multiply your resources for sowing and increase the fruits of your righteousness, which manifests itself in act of goodness, kindness, and charity. Thus you will be enriched in all things and in every way, so that you can be generous, and your generosity, as it is administered by us, will bring forth thanksgiving to God. Now, I can hardly imagine this kind of a lifestyle. But God says, if we plant the truth in our life, we will reap a harvest of God's bounty according to the measure of His abundance, His increase. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. This is 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. How am I doing? Will I get done before the lasagna gets cold? Okay, I'm better than halfway. 1 Thessalonians 3 at verse 12. And may the Lord make you increase and excel and overflow in love for one another and for all people, just as we also do for you. You know, in our ordinary everyday thinking, don't we kind of feel that if there's love in our life, we've reached the ultimate? No, are there degrees in love? Well, no, if you love, you love. And yet the Bible reminds us that may the Lord make you to increase and excel and overflow in love for one another. Now, perhaps there is no obvious way to demonstrate that provision of God. But this is what can happen. We can be so filled with the love of God that the overflow of our life buoys everybody else around us up in the Lord. It's like the tide that lifts all boats. And if our heart is full of the love of God without saying a word, the overflow of the Spirit will minister joy and peace and deliverance, release, hope, faith into everyone we touch. Some may be open to it, some may not be. That doesn't change the privilege we have of radiating out the love of Him who gave Himself for us, to redeem us to Himself. Blessed be the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus. This is 1 Thessalonians 4 at verse 9. But concerning brotherly love for all other Christians. Now see, this is in the same letter, only a few verses away. You have no need to have anyone write you, for you yourselves have been personally taught of God to love one another. And indeed, you already are extending and displaying your love to all the brethren throughout Macedonia. But we beseech and earnestly exhort you, brethren, that you excel in this matter more and more. Well, there's got to be a superlative somewhere that is the provision of God above and beyond all that we can ask or think, according to His power that is working in us. Make way for the Holy Spirit. Let God do what He's good at doing. And may we do what we should be good at doing, of giving ourselves to Him, making ourselves available. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Okay. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Verses 7 and 8. But refuse and avoid irreverent legends, profane and impure and godless fictions, mere grandmother's tales, and silly myths, and express your disapproval of them. Train yourself toward godliness. The actual word there in the Greek is, I don't know whether I'm going to get this right, but I'm going to try, gymnazo, which describes what happens, yes, in preparing for the games, where every athlete exercises and extends himself or herself to the max, to excel. Now, the word of the Lord says that we are to exercise ourselves in godliness. How do we do that? By making choices between godliness and ungodliness. And the thrust to godliness and the expression of God's virtues and God's graces and God's character through our lives is amplified as we strengthen the input of truth in our lives. And the manifestation of who He is becomes automatic. Praise the Lord Jesus. You know, grace doesn't flow very well under the pressure of our human efforts. Somehow it gets contaminated and the wrong stuff comes out. You know, ain't I great? Pat my other shoulder. But when we submit ourselves to Him and let Him be glorified, the truth comes out. And that's always good. 1 Timothy 4, verses 15 and 16. Practice and cultivate and meditate upon these duties. Throw yourself wholly into them, your ministry, so that your progress may be evident to everybody. Look well to yourself, to your own personality, and to your teaching. Persevere in these things. Hold to them, for by so doing, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. I'm not suggesting some slavish discipline, but I am suggesting that we be good stewards in our choices, in choosing between the way of the world and the way of God, the way of the flesh and the way of the spirit. And in so doing, we will become more adept. Yes, we're going to become spiritually more sensitive. We're going to be more alert, more aware. And there will grow in us a strength, a facility, an ability to minister the things of the Spirit of God that we are called to. Able ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter which kills, but of the Spirit which gives life. Praise you, Lord Jesus. This is Romans 15, dealing with the last word that we're addressing here this morning. Looking at the word hope. All right, this is Romans 15:13. May the God of your hope so fill you with all joy and peace in believing through the experience of your faith, that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound and be overflowing, bubbling over with hope. This is Romans 5 at verse 1. I've already read that. Let me go to the Old Testament for just one reference. Psalm 42. Sooner or later, all of us are going to face a situation where despair wants to overrule us, because everything will appear to be against us. If and when that happens, this is your